Aleichem, pardon the delay. Our title today is Parshas Dvarim V'Tisha B'Av, Tavshin Pei Beis. The root of Bechi, crying, is Mevucha, confusion, a point to ponder. Bear with me, let's read a little bit. It is once again Parshas Dvarim. It is once again Tisha B'Av. And to be quite honest, I'm troubled by many things, but two in particular. First of all, how will the ghoul ever come? I don't know why this has been sticking in my head recently, but it really has, and it forced me to try and straighten out my thoughts. Our brethren who are not attached to the Torah are sinking deeper and deeper into the cesspools of modern non-thought. Just look around. Look around. It's unbelievable. It's frightening. As for those of us who pride ourselves on our connection to the wellsprings of truth, how much infighting is there in our midst? How much superficiality poisons us? I won't go into examples of either of these things. I think they're self-evident. Anybody who unfortunately reads the news knows what's going on at all in the world, knows that this is just incredibly true. It's a pachad. So, to remove this self-doubt, we must remember the Smak's explanation of its piece to Yeshua. Smak, the Sefer Mitzvahs Kotzer, right, one of the Rishonim, one of the Balei Tosfos, Rabbi Yochanan Makovil. It's an unbelievable thing. I'm going to synopsize the idea here. There's a mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shehotzeicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Where's the tzivui? It's one of the Aseret HaDibros. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Where in there is there a word of tzivui? This is what you must do. It's just introducing a fact. I took you out of Mitzrayim. I could say it's. You should believe that I took you out of Mitzrayim. Okay. He says, though, it's not only telling us to remember the past, not to deny the past. Don't deny the past. It's true. Don't deny the past. But it is a tzivui for the future. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, we were in Mentesh Shari Tumah. We were in a hopeless situation. And if you allow me just to elaborate just a bit, I mean, obviously he doesn't talk about this. You think about the Jewish people there. Superficially, Loshinus Loshonam, Loshinu Es Shmosam, Loshinus Levusham. Their clothing was the same. Their speech didn't change it. The names stayed the same. But they were Memtesh Shari Tumah. Kosh Baruch Hu took us out of there. He took us out of there for a purpose. He took us out of there for a purpose to receive the Torah. If we believe that, and we must believe that, we must believe we're on a journey. And that being the case, then just as he took us out of Mitzrayim, so too he will take us out of the morass that we're in now. Because we have not completed the journey. The mitzvah of Tzipisil Yeshua says, the smak emanates. One of the things they ask a person after he's shuffled off the mortal coil and he comes upstairs, they ask him several questions, but one of the questions they ask him is, Tzipisil Yeshua. The smak is understanding it over here. Do you believe that the Yeshua is going to come? You must believe. It is an adjunct of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Yitzrayim. That was not for nothing. The job is not over. Okay. Along the same lines, the pasuk says, "Vevesi eschem in Yecheskel, vevesi eschem el midbar ha'amim, v'nishpatati eschem sham panim el panim." I will bring you, when you go into the Golos, into the desert, the desolation of the nations. Desert. In a physical desert, there's no water to drink. There's no food to be found. In the desert of the nation, the body, perhaps, is really quite well-fed and well-cared for. But the soul shrivels. Says the Tzor HaMor in last week's Parsha. V'chinir shenichtav v'kan, Parshas Maseh, Eilu Masos v'shem Hashem, v'ashrishenu shoresh u'bitochon godol b'gula sida. Just as Hashem took us through the 42 stations of the Midbar on our way to Eretz Yisrael, so too also Hashem will take us through all the stations of the Midbar, known as the Golos, and in particular the Golos Raviyas, the one that we're living in now, the one in whose quicksand of non-thought, I don't think there's any, right, false philosophies, debauchery, illness of the mind and the soul, that we're in now, Hashem takes out. Continue. Besides the belief in the Gula's arrival, which we just discussed, the Smak tells us the mitzvah of Tzibis Yeshua emanates from Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And in addition, the Tzor HaMor tells us that Parshas Maseh is meant to give us the bitachon that the Gula Asida will take place, just as we came to Eretz Yisrael after the 42 stations in our journey through the Midbar. That's one thing. Okay, I hear. I'm mechuyev to believe that it's going to happen, because I know the journey is not over. And just as Hashem took us out of a impossible situation of Mem Teshrei Tumen in Mitzrayim, to give us the Torah, so too he will complete the job. Okay. There's another aspect, though, to Tzibis of Yeshua. Tzibis of Yeshua is the antithesis of the following scenario. Mashiach has come. He's here. Oh, man. I can't believe it. For 2,000 years we've been waiting for him to come. And now he shows up. Do you know, I just spent a small fortune buying, right, 2 tickets on a Caribbean glatt kosher cruise. Now he comes after I spent the money on the Caribbean, and also I'm going to miss the cruise. How embarrassing it'd be if you come to Yerushalayim, somebody's going to start building the Beis HaMikdash, Kibbutz Goliath, all that stuff. I got to be on a cruise ship there in the Caribbean. Wow, what a shlemazel I am. That's another aspect of Tzipis Yeshua. Do we want it to come? Why do we want it to come? Besides the belief in the Gula's arrival, there is, however, another aspect of Tzipis Yeshua, and that is yearning. We need to yearn for an end to the confusion, the mevucha. It is this confusion that hides Hashem's love for us. The confusion hides Hashem's love for us. The darkness itself stultifies our own true feelings towards Him. Hear the words of the Meshech Chachma Anecha. Meshech Chachma points out something unbelievable. I think it's the crux of this particular issue. In other words, in Vitzipis the Yeshua are the two aspects. You believe it's going to come, you mechuyev. The job is not finished. And just as he took us from the abyss, out of the abyss of Mitzrayim, to give us the Torah, he will take us out of the abyss, the cesspool that we're in now, right, to bring the Gula Asida. Okay. But are we yearning for it? What's bothering us? What's bothering us? Our nails are cracked. Our bank account, I don't mean to mock anybody. I mock myself. That's the advantage, as I've said before, of Zoom, as I see my picture in front of me. Do we yearn for it? What's the nature of this confusion? So the Neshechachas is an unbelievable thing. In Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf and Eich, it says, Re'ei Hashem v'abita l'mi olalta. L'mi olalta ko. See Hashem. Peer intensely. Right? Who are you doing this to? Look at what's happened to us. Im tochal na nashim piryam alalai alay tipuchim. If mothers consume out of their dreadful hunger their own children, things like that have happened. We know it from the time of the Korban. Hashem Yishmor. Hashem Yishmor. The pasuk concludes, "Im yehareg b'mikdash Hashem kohen v'navi." If a navi shall be killed in the Beis Hamikdash, like unfortunately, Zechariah ben Yoyada, a kohen, when he protested, Yoash making himself into an avodah zarah, the king of Israel made himself into an avodah zarah after he'd been saved. In the Beis HaMikdash itself, when his grandmother's killing all of her descendants. Can you imagine? Even HaReg B'Mikdash Hashem Koyim V'Navi, and when he protested, the king had him stoned to death there in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, we ask the question, how could this be? We've come to this point. Mothers eating their own children. And Hashem says in return, how could it be that you came to the point of where you killed a kohen and a navi in the Beis HaMikdash itself? That's the way the Gemara interprets it. Meshech Chachma takes a twist further. Re'ei Hashem v'abita l'mi olalta ko. Ki hamakeh l'hasir hazadon. If, right, a person punishes, if a punishment is received to remove the cruelty, right, to remove the cruelty that's in another individual. You see somebody doing a cruel act, you punish him, so you should never do that cruel act again. Yashrei shatchuna hara milev ha'oseh. That's the intention, to remove, you mustn't do this. This is so incredibly cruel. This is so incredibly wrong. It's so incredibly twisted. How can you do this? Upo haya efech. Asher bishvil shenherag b'mikdash Hashem koin v'navi anshom b'achzarius gedola yoser shiyavashlo b'neim. V'zeh pele. Says the Meshech Chochma. It's an onish. Kalki says, look what's happened to us. And Hashem says, and look what you did. Look what happened to him. Look what you did. Says the Meshech Chachma, what's the point? What's the point of punishing in such a way that we should come to such achzarios? We're only entrenching this heartlessness, this cruelty, It's only being entrenched more deeply inside of us. If you bring us to eat our own children, God forbid, Hashem Yishmor, then the very cruelty, the very evil of having killed a Kohen and a Navi in the Beis HaMikdash, the total obscenity to that is only more deeply entrenched by a punishment that forces us to do the most heinous of things. V'zeh pela. That's a pela. It's a pela. It's a paradox. You can't wrap your head around it. What's the pshat? I dare say that in the pasuk itself, it's interesting. We say, Hashem, look at what happened to us. And Hashem answers us, what happened for nothing? So aren't we, as they say in Yiddish, abgefrekt? We ask the kasha. Tmiya gedola, unbelievable question of wonderment. How could this happen to us? And Hashem says, I'll explain to you. So why do we write the pasuk in the first place? We had a question. He gave us an answer. No. Why write it down? Must be there's something in both of the parts of the statement. The statement, the question, how could this be? How could this happen to us? How could we go through such suffering? Is valid. Even though the end of the pasuk says, are you blameless? They're both true. Once again, a paradox. They're both true. It's not a question and an answer. It's a state of wonderment, of stupefaction. It can't be. And an answer, are you blameless? But they both coexist in the same way that the paradox of the Beshet Chachma continues. You want to break me of this bad habit? Au contraire, you're entrenching this bad habit more deeply inside me. Why? Let's continue. These are the stuff that make up the anxieties of the future. Will there be? Yes, there will be. There will be a gula. Do we believe it? Yes. Do we yearn for an end to the confusion? Yes. We yearn to the end of the confusion. We yearn for the closeness. And the Meshach himself also says that's the point of crying on Tisha B'Av. To cry over something that's lost and you can't get back. So initially, there's certainly, we know this Gimel Bechia. A person loses a close relative. 3 days of crying, it's understood. We're not made out of stone, made out of flesh and blood. But why be ma'orer? Why awaken crying on something that's lost? There's no purpose. It's gone. We saw it from David HaMelech, Meshach points out. This child was conceived, that Bathsheba gave birth to. He prayed. The child should live, although he was ill. The child died. And he said, I won't cry anymore, because I'm going to him. He's not coming back to me. But to cry in order to achieve, call Mis'abel al Yushalayim, right? The person who's Mis'abel mourns of Yushalayim, will see it being rebuilt. There's a purpose to that crying. Crying is not over just loss. A crying over the loss when it has the capacity to generate rebirth. Okay. That we understand. That's purposeful. So says the Meshech Chachma. Further. And this, as we just discussed, the idea of the horrors of the past. Right. Let's continue on that. There's another nagging question. returns every Tisha B'Av, addresses the horrors of the past. Why is Yom Yom Seik to Hashem? In Perakei, Pasuk Aleph, Zechor Hashem Maya Lanu. Vabit, Vabit, Vabita, Re'e Esher Posenu, Vabita. Because Baruch Hu, see, look what's happened to us. See how we have been shamed. It's true, we mentioned the Mesher Chachma before. We ask the question, right? Hashem gives us an answer. But what is the purpose of bringing up? What's the purpose? What's the purpose of bringing up, look what's happened to us? Hashem gives us an answer. Do we believe that Hashem is unfair? Many people on Tisha B'Av, they read stories of the Holocaust, of the Shoah. Why are we doing that? Why are we doing it? Perhaps the idea is to awaken a tear in our eyes. Okay. What's the nature of that tear? Why do we keep on saying, look what Hashem, look what happened to us. Zechor Hashem Mayalanu. Look what happened to us. Look what happened to you. Don't you think you deserved it? Well, maybe that's a harsh way of saying it. Do you think it was caprice on my part? Do you think it was unfair cruelty on my part? Do you think there was no justification to it? To add to the confusion, in next week's Haftorah, Yeshaya consoles us. It says, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Omar Elokeichem. Tabru alev Yerushalayim, kira elea, ki mala tzua, ki nitza avona, ki lakcha miyad Hashem kiflaim b'chol chatoseha. Yishayahu Navi next week, Be'ezer Hashem will be menachem us. All tanchumim, as we know from the end of Parshas Bereishis, every lashon of vayenachim, of tanchumim, of nichum, is machshava acheres. Right, to give us the capacity to understand things a little bit differently. Right? So he's going to be menachem us next week. Okay? If we cry properly this Tisha or this Asara B'Av, then we'll need some nechama. We'll need some nechama. And Yeshua will do that. But he makes a statement. Call to Yerushalayim, speak to Yerushalayim, call out to her. Right? Her children are coming home. Her sins have been atoned. Ki lakcha miyad Hashem, for she has received from the hand of Hashem kiflaim bechol hatoseh, double of all her sins. There are lots of ways to understand this pasuk. Lots of ways. Right? The Kabbalim talk about it. Everyone talks about it. Everyone talks about it. Mefarshim Pshat. But the most simple reading says, because we have received a punishment double that we did. What does that mean? Hashem has punished us twice as much of what we are guilty of? The Navi writes that. The Navi states that we receive double the punishment that should have been incurred for our sins. Is it possible the king who loves righteousness and justice should be so cruel? It simply can't be. Barbanel says an unbelievable thing. He says, Shiyom re'eleha. Clear on that pasuk in Yishayahu, Perek Mem. Kedei lefaisa, or to appease us, the mourning Jewish people. That she's received double of what her sins, right, should entitle her to. Utzalomashlo hayu ra'oseyem mikrios al ashgachios. The punishments have been visited upon us, Rachman Litzlan. Right? They're not mikra. They are very clearly intended. Me'eis Hashem. V'shalaku kiflai mimash epashu. And that we have been stricken double that which we have sinned. Kim heyos shalohaya davar kain. He says an unbelievable thing. It's not really true. Of course, we know it's not true. Barbanel says, we know it's not true. This is not, Hashem didn't punish us unnecessarily. Didn't bring us to such horrors, to such sorrows unnecessarily. Ki gavar shamayim al aretz, gavar chazdo al yiriyav. His love for us, right, is reaches rekwad, higher than the heavens over the earth. So it's not possible that this is true. Yet we say it anyway. Hine kedei lefaisa, in order to appease us, in order to calm us, in order to bring us to a more tranquil state. Tziva sheyomru kein lefi shehayoshev betzar yanuach lo kishyomer shaba lo tzar rabba alo chamas asa. I think what the Barbanel is saying is that when you say to a person who has suffered, your suffering is so great. Your suffering is so difficult to come to grips with, to handle. That's the way you console someone. You address his suffering. You don't address the causes of his suffering. The E of Yochiach, Shai Mitzar, Lefisha Chaver, Vayo Umrim Lo, Shinenash Kifichetto. Barbanel says, and that's what the Gemara Bab Mitzia says. Ketzad, how do we find a case of a Noz Devarim? Of abusing somebody with words. If somebody's suffering, and you come to him and you say, no doubt it's because of your sins. Is that true? Certainly. It's true. No one suffers for nothing. Whether it's from my actions in this world, and actions in a previous lifetime, we're not getting into it, right? Whether I'm an incredible tzaddik, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, as it were, is being medactic, he's being, as it were, very fine-tuned in his dealing with the individual, to all series, but nothing happens for nothing. But you don't say that to the person who's suffering. That's called a nosavarim. That's called abuse. You don't say it. It's abuse. It's abuse. Instead, what do you say? The magnitude of your suffering is unbelievable. We don't comfort a person in pain by reminding him of the justice served in his suffering. Rather, we focus on the magnitude of the suffering, how it seems to be beyond the scale of any sin. It seems to be beyond the man. Because we're not trying to encourage kfira. We're trying to get him to focus. Right? Get him to focus on how difficult it is. And someone else understands. If expressed properly, these words will bring the sufferer to contemplation rather than rebellion. It is just this contemplative struggle to accept the unfathomable that is transformed to the most supreme merit. That being said, we now understand the Gemara in Baba Kama, Samach Amud Beis. The Gemara in Baba Kama says an unbelievable thing. There it's talking, in the halacha context, it's talking about damaging through fire. And then there's an agadic section there. And it says, upon the pasuk, Yiseitze Eishu Matzakotzim, etc., if a fire should come out, etc., 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 and burns up someone else's field, the person is responsible to make restitution to the person whose field is consumed. Okay. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Alai l'shalim es ve'erish yiv'arti. I have a responsibility to, right, pay for the fire that I caused to burn. Ani yitzasi ish, I'm sorry, yitzisi ish, shenemar v'yotzeis ish v'tzion. I set the fire that burnt down the Beis HaMikdash. I set the fire that burned down Yerushalayim. V'tochel yisod asev, ani osi livnosa be'esh. And I will rebuild it be'esh, with fire. Shenemar v'ani eyela chumas esh saviv v'lechvod eyeh besocha. Like we say in Nachim, will say Mitz Hashem on Tisha B'Av Nachem, Atah Be'esh Yitzatah, Atah Be'esh Asid Livnosah. You burnt it down with fire, Hashem, and you will rebuild a Beis HaMikdash of fire that will come down from the heaven. That's very poetic. Huh? It's a punishment. When you damage somebody unprovokedly, you have to make restitution, you have to pay. But if somebody deserves an onish, and you give him that onish, and it's rightfully given to him, and that's what the Psak of Beis Din was, you don't owe him anything. You don't owe him anything. That defies logic. Ella, I dare say, there are two issues here. There's the issue of the head, and there's the issue of the heart. In the head, we can know, of course, Kosh Borchus Melech Ohev Tztaka U'Mishpat. Hashem is Dayan HaEmes. Nothing that comes from his hand is twisted. Nothing that comes from his hand is unjustified. That's all very true in the head. But there are things in life that are sometimes so beyond the scope of being able to wrap our being around it. It can't find a place in our heart. The pain is searing. In my head, I know it's true, it's true. I can't take the pain, I can't take the pain. What should one do with that? What should one do with that? What one does with that is, I can't understand it. In my mind, I know Hashem is Melech Ohev Tztaka U'Mishpat, but I really can't come to grips with it. It's so colossal. It's so beyond. It's so horrible. It's so horrific. It's so absolutely terrible. But I accept. Without understanding, I accept. That merit is an incredible merit. I saw Rav Sacha Meir from Yeshivas HaNegev. He wrote that when a person accepts that and recognizes that everything is from Hashem, he turns the Yisurim that he received as a kapara into Yisurim shel Ahava. That's a plus. It's a benefit. It is a source for unbelievable schar, for reward. Not just the person cleansed, he now receives reward. The impossibility of the heart to accept, while the mind knows it's true, and yet to accept because I won't question, I accept. That monumental leap generates schar. It becomes Yisurim Shel Ahava. Yisurim Shel Ahava, as it were, generates greater reward than what the person would have received under other circumstances. Klal Yisrael, because of the events that we've seen in our history, are so beyond the ability to translate them into the message of the heart. Though we know that Hashem is Dayan HaEmes, that generates the schar. Hashem says, Mida keneged Mida. I burnt it down with fire. You deserve that. I will build it with fire. I think this is very true. I think it's very true. Let's just think for a second. See, a person relates back to events of 80 years ago. You read any of the books that are written by people who are Shomer Torah v'Mitzvos. Again, this is not an indictment of people who are no longer Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. That's a whole separate story. You can't judge anybody until, God forbid, a person goes through the hell that they went through. But if you read the accounts of those who still believe, wonderfully believe, it takes us to a place of I can't understand this, but I have to accept. I have to accept, because if they accept it, if people like, I don't know, the Kloisenberger Rebbe, these are the people that know, the Panovich Rav, and others. A book by Rav Sinai Adler, Zichron Levracha as well. And it's called Yerad. Yerad and your staff. Yerad and your staff. Shivtecho Mishantecho. Rebbetzin Volbe. Book, Faith in the Night. We're embarrassed not to accept, even though we can't wrap our heads around it. This creates the entire scenario of yearning, Hashem, please, and the darkness and the confusion that is revealed in history, and the darkness and the confusion that is in my own soul, and the darkness and the confusion that I'm sometimes guilty of inflicting upon myself as we don't remain consistent to our values. And this in turn creates barriers between us and the Creator, makes it so dark, night, like the title of Elie Wiesel's book, night where things are not clear, and the night of the Golas, bring the dawn of Geula. See, peace in Yeshua. Do we believe it will happen? Yes, just as we saw Yetzias Mitzrayim, the journey is not over. Do we yearn for it to happen? If we're at all sensitive, right, to the horrors that the Jewish people have experienced. And it's not just that we want an end of the horrors, we want an end of the blockage, we want an end of the confusion. We want to, as it were, to reconnect, to be able to see, to be able to feel, to be able to experience the love that Hashem has for us, and in turn, to respond with our own love, and to exit out of the darkness. Please, we want an end, to be mitzapel Yeshua, to yearn for the Yeshua. A point to ponder. So it's Parshas Devarim. Parshas Devarim is always the Sedra before Tisha B'Av, Shabbos Chazon. Does it give us the tools, Sefer Devarim Bechlal? Let's examine just a few points in the Parsha. I think we'll see that we know that, for instance, yeah, the Baal Kori this week will read Eicha Esal Levadi Torchachem Masachem V'Rivchem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "How can I bear the challenging nature of you Jewish people? How can I bear it? How can I carry you?" And the Medrash says that there are three who use the terminology Eicha. Moshe Rabbeinu Eicha Esa Levadi. Yishayo said Eicha Esa Lezona. How we become like a harlot? Has Yerushalayim become like that? and Echa Yashva Vadad, Yirmiyahu. And the Medrash says that it relates to three stages. One, the stage, Moshe Rabbeinu talking about a respect-worthy, exceptional woman in all of her glory. And Moshe Rabbeinu already points out their flaws here, and these flaws, which appear to be hairline fractures, initially will translate into great faults, seismic faults later on. You argue too much, you fight too much, you lose perspective too easily. The next stage is Yishayahu, how we have become like a harlot. How Yushalayim has been translated into a harlot. Debased behavior. And then finally, after punishment has been visited, Echa Yashva Vadad, how he sit alone. And we know the minig of the Baal Kori is when he'll come to these words in Parshas Dvarim, Echa Esol Vadi, he'll read the nigun of Echa. But I dare say that Parshas Dvarim is more deeply connected to Tisha B'Av, not just in that it speaks about the evolution of our sin and our ultimately of our undoing, but it also speaks to the remedy. Ve'evar Yardain, on the other side of the Jordan, Be'eretz Moav, Hoil Moshe Be'eretz HaTorah Zos Le'mor. The very beginning of our Parsha, right? Moshe Rabbeinu Hoil Be'er. What does the word Hoil mean? It says Rashi, Hischil. He began to explain the Torah. Asks the Taz. And explains it, by the way, in 70 Lashonos, in 70, what do you call it, 70 different languages. That itself is a point to ponder. Why do I need Moshe Rabbeinu to explain to us? We speak Lashon HaKodesh. We're meant to speak Lashon HaKodesh. The Jewish people are entering Eretz Israel. Why interpret it in 70 different Lashonos? Says the Taz, asks the Taz on Rashi, Mitzorach bir, ma inin haschol lekan. Rashi says, Hoil means to be matchil, to begin. It's not just where it began. He ended, no? It doesn't end. Says Hashem Yishmuel, in the name of Avni Nezer, Shemishna Torah v'asher Moshe Rabbeinu mipi atzmo amra nira shehi emtsai ben torsh v'chsav v'torsh bal peh. Eile dvar ma shediber Moshe. Moshe spoke these words. Medrash talks about it. How Moshe himself has evolved. Lo ish dvar manochi, he said in Parsha Shmos. How can I possibly speak to Paro? I'm not an Ish Dvarim. But after receiving the Torah transforms. Moshe Rabbeinu transforms. He speaks words of Torah now. Eile Dvar Mashadib Moshe. He speaks words of Torah. It is the bridge, says the Shemi Shmuel, from the world of Torah Shebichsav to Torah Shebal Peh. And it is the world of Torah Shebal Peh that carries the Jewish people. Api Advar Ba'il Karasi Tchem Bris. The bris, like the Gemara says in Gittin, the bris, the real depth of the covenant that exists between Hashem and the Jewish people is on Torah Shebal Peh. Al pi hadvarim eilu, karasi itchem bris. That's what carries us long after Nevuah has shut down with the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. What carries us to the end of days is Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh is written on the hearts of the Jewish people. It's written on our hearts. It's part of us. It says the Sfasemis, V'ata, K'siv ho'il be'er, Perish zeh l'shono, B'shivim l'shon, Yechnis or Torah b'chol ha'lashonos. The Sfasemis says from the Chiddush Arim, so what was the idea, right? What was the idea of the Shivim l'shonos? The Chiddush Arim says, because it's true they're entering Eretz Yisrael, but we're going to be traveling through the Midbar Amim eventually. It's Divrei Tochacha, says the Sfasemis. Divrei Tochacha, words that go into our toch, that go into us. Words of reproach, but not just reproach on the Arata, just to slap us up, but words that bring us more to be more contemplative inside, deep inside. The Torah is written on upon our hearts. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu did. When they came to Arvos Moav, don't just hear the Torah, don't just learn the Torah, let the Torah penetrate into your hearts, and it will carry you through the world of the 70 different languages, as it were, through the nations of the world, to the end of days. It says in addition, the Sifsei Kohen from Sfas, Hoil Moshe bears a Torah zos lemor, my lemor, lemor lehem leYisrael, shekol mi sheyachol lasos biur la Torah. What's lemor saying? What should you say? Biur is a Torah lemor? If you say, Vadabar Hashem Moshe lemor. So, okay, Hashem spoke to Moshe, lemor, say to the Jewish people. But now it says, Moshe Rabbeinu's biur is a Torah zos lemor. To say what? To tell us to say. So you say, Cohen talks about if you can be mefarish, if you can understand the Torah, you mechuyev to be mevayer of the Torah. Lasos bir ala Torah yaseh shekulam kiblu b'Sinai. All of us received our chelik in Torah, to struggle in Torah, to understand the Torah, to live our lives al pi the Torah, to deal with the events that we witness or that we've read of in our lives through the lens of Torah. The Torah is inside of us. We're meant to breathe Torah understanding into all the events that we experience. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu gave us. That's why we have the capacity, on the one hand, to know that Hashem is Melech Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. Nothing Hashem does is for nothing. But at the same time, it tells us, don't lie to yourself. Can you wrap your head around? I won't even say, right? The horrors that the Jewish people have seen. You can't wrap your head around it. You can't wrap your head around it in a way that it can find an avenue into our hearts. We can hear it in our heads. You can know it's true. But to find its place in our heart, it's so painful. And yet we accept that itself will generate the Beis HaMikdash of fire coming from heaven. That itself, in the interim, the pain of that confusion, the pain of the gap between our minds and our hearts, is what should generate the crying Hashem on Tisha B'Av, please. There's nothing more important than our connection to you. But in the world that we live in, it's so hard to connect. I beg of you, end the darkness. The tears of confusion, of bechi, of mabucha. Not empty tears, not tears that have no purpose or strength because it's lost. It's not lost. It is through the yearning to exit the world of confusion and to once again re-enter the world of light. It is those tears that are built upon, it's beyond my ability, but nonetheless I accept, that will generate the Beis HaMikdash of Eish. B'mehera b'yameinu. Amen. Reading Fleishiks on this Tisha B'Av. Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zochot to eat Fleishiks on Asar B'Av as well. Halavai, amen.